Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Little lanes were meant for running. Little lanes were meant for play. We must protect all the children. So little lanes will
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. A failed bank taken over by the feds is under investigation for what may have been risky loan practices. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has more from the Justice Department.
The criminal investigation of California-based IndyMac brings to 21 the number of major FBI investigations underway into possible fraud within subprime mortgages. The government's takeover of the bank and its control of the books could make this investigation slightly easier for agents, and there is a definite sense of new urgency given the fear among account holders about the safety of their money.
Oil prices fell again today by another $4 a barrel, and that cheered investors on Wall Street. The Dow finished 276 points higher. But Anthony Mason reports that could easily reverse.
It's a bit of a relief, but look, we're in a very volatile period right now and still incredibly vulnerable to any bits of bad news, which seem to be coming on a regular basis. You know, it would only take, you know, one more major bank to fail for the market to head south again. It's that fragile right now.
Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen said today there could be more troop withdrawals from Iraq after the fall.
I won't go so far as to say that progress in Iraq from a military perspective has reached a tipping point or it is irreversible. But security is unquestionably and remarkably better.
But military leaders say they're facing an increasingly sophisticated insurgency in Afghanistan, particularly along the Pakistan border.
We're seeing a greater number of insurgents and foreign fighters flowing across the border with Pakistan unmolested. This movement needs to stop.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates said today more forces are needed in Afghanistan sooner rather than later. 12 years after the crash of TWA Flight 800, federal officials have a new requirement to protect planes and prevent center fuel tank explosions.
Transportation Secretary Mary Peters says an innovative device must be installed in more than 2,700 aircraft.
A breakthrough system that replaces oxygen in the fuel tank with inert gas, effectively preventing the potential ignition of flammable vapors.
Our intent is to close the door on fuel tank explosions.
As acting FAA Administrator Bobby Sturgill, the type of explosion that has caused three fatal air accidents in the past 18 years, including the TWA Flight 800 crash. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Pilots for U.S. Airways say they're being pressured to use less fuel than they think is safe in order to save money. A celebration in Lebanon today after Israel handed over Hezbollah guerrillas in exchange for the bodies of two Israeli soldiers. The capture of those two Israelis sparked the Lebanon War 2 years ago. A new bill hopes to do away with a two-decade ban on people with HIV visiting or immigrating to the U.S. Senator John Kerry.
What we're trying to do now is change it in legislation, which is on the floor of the Senate, so that we can just have a sensible policy where our immigration people will be able to make a determination whether somebody ought to be able to come in for the right reasons.
This is CBS News.
When it comes to painting, there's no time like summertime. And Ace can help with expert advice and everything you'll need to be ready to go. Like Ace Royal Paint, starting at just $19.99 a gallon. For more great deals now through Monday, get to your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place. Ace ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power & Associates for the second straight year. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Federal authorities and boy band creator Lou Pearlman have reached agreement on how much the man who created the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC owes to investors and banks. Peter King has that.
So where did all the money go?
If I knew that, then I would have recovered it by now.
A bankruptcy trustee, after a judge told Lou Pearlman he has to repay swindled investors like Margaret Smith some $300 million collectively.
We invested $101,000 in principal.
Prosecutors asked the judge to add on more than $125 million in interest. He's delayed a decision on that. Pearlman now heads to federal prison for 25 years after his conviction of conspiracy, fraud, and money laundering charges. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Colombia's president has apologized to the Red Cross for using its symbol in the rescue of those hostages from leftist rebels. It wasn't planned that way, he said. A member of the rescue team got nervous at the last minute and put a Red Cross symbol on his vest. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
If you had purchased gold 2 years ago, you would have seen a $10,000 investment be worth over $18,000 today. And the good news is that gold continues to be at only 40% of its previous high in 1980, considering inflation. And some experts predict gold could reach as high as 2,000 an ounce, which means investors could potentially turn a $10,000 investment into over $20,000. Now, every investment has risks, and past performance does not guarantee future returns. But you owe it to yourself to get a free consultation from the professionals at Blanchard. For over 30 years, Blanchard has helped people invest wisely in gold. In fact, Blanchard even gives you a buyback guarantee. So call for a free, no-obligation consultation on the coins that are positioned right now to give you solid returns. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity, and Blanchard has an attractive radio offer for those who call today. So call 888-730-GOLD. That's 888-730-GOLD. Don't wait. Call 888-730-GOLD. 888-730-GOLD.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Another successful launch of the Peter B. Collins Show. We are airborne and underway. Plenty to talk about, great people to talk with, lots of room for your phone calls. That's our show. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Paul Waldman will join us in just a moment from Media Matters. We'll talk about that New Yorker cartoon and other campaign distractions. And later this hour, Phyllis Bennis returns from the Institute for Policy Studies. We're going to talk about Barack Obama's speech about foreign policy yesterday. The Bush administration's about face, dare we call it a flip-flop? They're sending the number three guy from the State Department to talk with the Iranians in Geneva this weekend. Without preconditions. That's enrichment of a different kind, isn't it? And Phyllis Bennis has just returned from a visit to the occupied Gaza Strip. She'll give us a report on that, followed by an in-studio guest, Dr. Paul LaRudy. He's from FreeGaza.org. And he and a group of supporters are heading to Cyprus later this week, where they will get on boats. And they are going to take those boats, sail across the Mediterranean to the Gaza Strip, defying Israel's blockade of Gaza. And this could be very, very interesting. Dr. LaRudy will join us next hour and tell us about it. The current economic meltdown has been called Wall Street Socialism. Bob Borisage of the Campaign for America's Future penned that item. You can read it at HuffingtonPost.com. And his colleague Terrence Heath will join us next hour as well. Then we're going to try to get you to support a blockade of a blockade. The folks at TrueMajority.org are organizing petitions to ask Congress not to pass that resolution, 362, that calls for a naval blockade of Iran. And we'll also feature Central Coast writer Michael Kenneth Hemp. He's got a new book out, which is a novel based on the technical concept of the ability to test different body chemistry to find out if you're lying. And he'll explain that to us coming up in the Free Speech Zone and invite you to a book signing in Pacific Grove coming up this weekend. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. One other note, Richard Hayes Phillips, the author of the book about the stolen election in Ohio called Witness to a Crime, he starts his Northern California tour Friday in Santa Cruz. We'll have him on the show Friday with Brad Friedman. And on Saturday, he'll be appearing with me in Marin County, just north of San Francisco. That'll be at the Presbyterian Church in San Anselmo, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and he'll be there with his slideshow and actual pictures of some of the purloined ballots from Ohio. So I hope you'll join me for that if you possibly can, our Bay Area listeners. That's Saturday at 2 p.m., the First Presbyterian Church in San Anselmo in Marin County. Paul Waldman, senior fellow at Media Matters and co-author with David Brock of the book Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. He joins us again today. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Peter.
Got any cartoons on your desk there?
No, I'm cartoon-free today.
You're tune-free? Well, I enjoy cartoons. I love The New Yorker. When it arrives, I often, you know, flip through and read the cartoons before I get to the articles. And I have been real level-headed about this and avoided getting distracted by this because 2 weeks ago you wrote the piece about the Wes Clark distraction. Last week it was Jesse Jackson going to cut something off. That distracted us from the real issues before us. And this week it's the New Yorker cartoon cover. And I want to direct our listeners to the website of the San Francisco Chronicle. It's sfgate.com. And go there and look for Bad Reporter. This is a satirical cartoon that gets published a couple of times a week. His first panel reads, magazine defies ancient ban on images of Prophet Obama, refuses to behead cartoonist. The second panel reads, New Yorker won't back down. Next issue presses even more buttons. Magazine's depiction of Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae as terrorists angers GOP. So I recommend that to you if you are feeling lighthearted about this tune thing. And at Media Matters, you've got a report. Some lucky person was monitoring the G. Gordon Liddy show. And I used to share a spot on the dial with the the I man. He's a weird guy. And it was very strange. We met a couple of times, had lunch once, and I just have to say he maintains a bizarre exterior. And he had some comments saying that the New Yorker finally nailed it, that this is somebody telling the truth about Obama.
Yes, that's what he said on the show. And, you know, Liddy, of course, is a convicted felon, among other things. But somehow that doesn't seem to be any bar to continuing success in the world of right-wing rhetoric. That's what he said on his radio show. And I think the interesting thing is that you see that there with him talking about how he said the New Yorker finally got it right. We noticed on the website, a website called WorldNet Daily, which is a very popular right-wing website, they did a little poll of their readers to get their responses to it, and 60% of them said that the New Yorker cartoon actually is a relatively accurate portrayal of Michelle Obama. And so I think that you know, one of the things that satire often tries to do is to kind of exaggerate a particular characteristic of somebody.
Yeah.
You know, somebody has big ears, you make them even bigger. And this doesn't seem to be much of an exaggeration of what the right wing actually thinks about Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the interesting things I think about this is that it shows how much power we ascribe to images in a way that we don't ascribe it to words. There's kind of an assumption that I think isn't always correct, that that when people see an image, they're going to be affected in a particularly profound way. You know, if you ask newspaper editors about their coverage of the Iraq War, one of the things they'll tell you is that when they include vivid descriptions in text in an article of violence and killing and death, they don't get complaints from their readers. But if they show a picture of some kind of violence, then they get inundated with complaints from their readers, because not because that reader had their views changed or was particularly offended, but that they believe that other people are going to be. You know, sometimes I think that there's something to that, but sometimes I think that we have this assumption that images are going to make people, are going to affect people in a profound way that they won't be affected by words.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Paul, for me, this is a non-issue. The New Yorker has great covers and great cartoons. They diss a lot of different people over a period of time. Some of the covers are just great art and interesting to look at without any deep or deeper message. But I'm befuddled because I just think that this is not very important. And it's gotten a hell of a lot of media attention over the last 48, 72 hours. And I just think that we really need to remind people that there are real issues to discuss. I mean, yesterday it was wall-to-wall New Yorker cover, and Barack Obama gave a very important speech about foreign policy, the future of Iraq and Iran and Pakistan, and mostly what people got was coverage of a cartoon.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was certainly wall-to-wall in the cable networks. And there are, as you say, important things happening in the campaign. John McCain has now reversed his position on Afghanistan, which is something I would think is somewhat important, that he used to say that we didn't need any more troops there and it wasn't, the war in Iraq wasn't harming our efforts in Afghanistan. And now he wants to send more troops to Afghanistan and do it because of the smashing success in Iraq. So that's something important to discuss, and both the candidates gave speeches about the war in Iraq, and there were some very profound and important differences that are important for voters to understand, and there was far less coverage of that than there was of the New Yorker cover.
Yeah. Another element about McCain is last week, as you report on Media Matters, he made a remarkable comment saying that Social Security is a disgrace because of the way it's structured, that present-day retirees get their check from me and others in the workforce today. Now, that's always how it has been structured, but this seems to come as a surprise. And McCain, I just heard a great pair of clips on the Ed Schultz show the other day where McCain said we've got to privatize Social Security. That was 2 years ago. And this year he's saying he doesn't want to privatize Social Security. So he's all over the place on Social Security, and the media is just pretty much yawning about it.
Yeah, there wasn't any coverage on the network newscasts about this. John McCain came out and he said, I can read you the quote, "Americans have got to understand that we're paying present-day retirees with the taxes paid by young workers in America today, and that's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace, and it's got to be fixed." Now, that's how Social Security has always worked. The current workers pay for the current retirees. That's how it's worked since the beginning. But John McCain seems to have just found this out. Now, you think that would be news, but it wasn't, according to the news media. And this is coming, I think, with a string of gaffes for John McCain. You know, a couple times he's referred to Czechoslovakia, which is a country that has not existed for the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that when he makes these kinds of mistakes, the press that have been so helpful to him for so long just kind of turn away, look the other way, don't decide to mention it. And yet, nonetheless, you will often find them talking about how John McCain is so knowledgeable and experienced.
Mm-hmm.
He's so knowledgeable, but he doesn't seem to understand how Social Security works, and he doesn't know which countries exist and which don't exist.
Well, and just a couple of weeks ago, there was this media firestorm because in one news conference, I think it was in Fargo, they felt Obama was hedging on his position about Iraq, so he came back and gave a second news conference in the same day. We haven't seen that kind of a media firestorm where they react to one of these bonehead comments by McCain and say, gosh, you better clarify that, and you better do it right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's really the difference. It's not that you can't find somewhere somebody brought it up, but when it's something with Obama that, he says just a different variation on the thing he's been saying the entire time about Iraq, that they react as though a bomb has gone off, and they rush to their laptops to begin, feverishly writing articles about it, and then the Obama has to come out and say, I'm not saying anything different, hold a whole second press conference. But they don't seem to have that kind of reaction when McCain says things that would get a different candidate in trouble.
Yeah. We're talking with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America, and we're going to take a break and return in just a moment. If you have a comment, you can join us now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
Our radio show for the whole family. dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
There's a good reason why SC41 Furniture is using all-natural, chemical-free mattress components. A lot of us have asthma, allergies, or trouble breathing at night. We deserve a clean, pure sleeping environment to breathe more freely. And for the rest of us, we want a mattress that we know has no chemical residues or odors. Our natural latex and all our textile components are certified ecologically pure. That's the SC41 mattress. We're so convinced that all natural is the way to go that we're also carrying old world craftsman quality furniture that is extremely sturdy, beautiful, and eco-friendly. And we've developed a line of special oxygen pillows for deeper sleep through deeper breathing. At SC41 Furniture, we have a reason for the things we do. Well, actually, several reasons. And they all add up to a clean, healthier, and comfortable place to be. SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Rolls on, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Paul Waldman from Media Matters. They're a great website, mediamatters.org, and they monitor the media. When they find inaccuracies, omissions, commissions, they let you know about it. And one of the things that remains a hot item here, Paul, is the chart that you and David Brock put together that's available online at mediamattersaction.org of all the lobbyists surrounding John McCain. And we just got some new names to add to the universe there on your beautiful graphic. There are more than 60 McCain bundlers who have raised more than $500,000 for the campaign. And at least a dozen, isn't this shocking, are lobbyists or work for lobbying firms, including Wayne Berman of Ogilvy Government Relations, NRA, Verizon, and Fannie Mae are his clients. Jack Oliver, Brian Cave Strategies, lobbies for Shell Oil and Anheuser-Busch of Belgium. Peter Terpeluk, a former top fundraiser for W, who bought the ambassador to Luxembourg seat. And he works for American Continental Group, lobbies on behalf of Siemens and Ernst & Young. And there's one guy who's playing both sides. Ken Griffin, chief executive of Citadel Investment, has raised money for both McCain and Obama, and he made $1.5 billion in income as a hedge fund manager last year. So it's quite an interesting group of people surrounding John McCain.
Well, in a lot of ways, this is today's modern Republican Party. I think some people in McCain's defense have said that, well, you know, it would be hard to run a whole campaign without a bunch of corporate lobbyists on there. Who else are we going to hire? And there's actually some truth in that, because that's what the Republican establishment is. I mean, that's what they do when they're not in power, when people who work on Capitol Hill leave Capitol Hill. What do? Well, they go and become lobbyists for big corporations. In a lot of ways, they're not doing anything different when they're doing that than they were when they were working in the Bush administration or when they were working on Capitol Hill. They're still advocating for the same interests. And so it's not really a surprise that that's who John McCain is surrounded by. People whose job it is to make sure that corporations pay as few taxes as possible, that they have as few regulations constraining their behavior as possible. That is the Washington Republican world. And despite all of the claims that John McCain is somehow outside of that, he's steeped in it, and has been for many, many years.
Well, a recent issue of The Nation magazine reprised some commentary that I think is in your book and I've seen elsewhere about the Reform Institute. Do you cover that in the book?
Yeah, I mean, this is you could almost call it a racket that John McCain and his people set up. It's so ironic because the point of this organization was to advocate for political reform. And yet what it became was essentially a way for corporations to support John McCain and skirt the campaign finance laws in the process. So they set up this organization. A lot of McCain's top people have jobs there. They're ostensibly supposed to be advocating for political reform, and corporations can donate money to this independent organization, even if they've given all the money that they're allowed to by law to John McCain's campaign. They can support, they can continue to support him and his people by donating money to the Reform Institute, which is paying hefty salaries to people like Rick Davis, the corporate lobbyist who was his campaign manager.
Yeah.
It's quite a little operation.
Well, it's a neat parking place, too, where you can earn $300,000 a year for just talking about reform and shaking down corporate donors. Paul, one of the other items that I noticed at Media Matters right now is about the Washington Post coverage of the McCain campaign, and this is about immigration. And he, again, has been kind of all over the map and seems to believe that, for example, he can go to Pittsburgh and say that it was the Steelers that he thought about when he was being tortured in North Vietnam, when, in fact, his book says it was the Green Bay Packers. Is he in an advanced state of confusion?
I don't know. That was one of the all-time great panders, I have to say.
Yeah.
This is a story that he has told literally 100 times before, how when he was being interrogated by the Vietnamese, instead of naming the members of his squadron, he named the starting line of the Green Bay Packers. So he's in Pittsburgh, and the interviewer says, "What do you think of when you think of Pittsburgh?" And he says, "Oh, the Steelers." And he starts to go on about how when he was a kid, he loved the Steelers, and when he was being interrogated, he named the Steelers front line. Well, you know, when he was a kid, the Steelers were terrible. Nobody knew who they were.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the line he named actually was famous after he was released from Hanoi.
Yeah, it was in the late 70s that the Steelers had their glory days. It was in the 60s that the Packers had their glory days. So it makes perfect sense that it was the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of pandering is something that we're not supposed to expect from John McCain, because he's supposed to be above all that. Well, you know, he is in so many ways just like any other politician.
Well, and when it comes to immigration, he has been singed by the far right of his party, and he has a much more of a Tom Tancredo position today than he did even a year ago.
And yet he goes in front of groups like the National Council of the Raza, which he spoke to last week, and talks about how he worked with Ted Kennedy to come up with a comprehensive immigration reform. And then newspapers like The Post and other ones just report this without noting that he turned his back on that piece of legislation during the primaries when it was getting him into political trouble with the Republican Party base, and said he wouldn't even vote for his own bill.
Yeah.
He was asked in the debate. And they don't include that piece of information in the article.
Carefully edited stuff. Thank you very much, Paul Waldman. We'll talk to you again real soon.
I look forward to it.
MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies. We'll talk about Obama's speech and much more.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. This is Dave Ross. I get the feeling that there's a new war underway.
I will send at least two additional combat brigades to Afghanistan.
Our commanders on the ground in Afghanistan say that they need at least three additional brigades.
I do believe we have a bidding war going on. More after this from Charlie. Thank you, Dave. Whatever your plans for the summer, whether you're picnicking at the park, heading to the beach, or flying across the country, you can get easy prescription refill service at any Walgreens. Walgreens has thousands of locations nationwide, many open 24 hours. And because all their pharmacies are connected, you'll find convenient prescription service at any location. That means any Walgreens you visit is your Walgreens. To find the one that's nearest you, just call 1-800-WALGREENS. Do it today.
Say you're heading to the ball game with an ordinary GPS, and you're in a hurry. It'll tell you to take the same old highway, but on a Thursday afternoon, the posted 55 miles per hour reads more like a mockery than a speed limit. And as you inhale exhaust from the car idling in front of you, you imagine the thrill of seeing that eye-popping catch you just heard on the radio. Or you could use the new TomTom Go. With its exclusive IQ Routes technology, it's the only GPS that uses actual drive times to find you the fastest route every time. TomTom, go confidently.
Barack Obama's latest audition for the role of Commander-in-Chief was a formal foreign policy speech in which he called the war in Iraq a distraction.
This war distracts us from every threat that we face.
He promised a responsible redeployment
that pushes Iraq's leaders towards a political solution, rebuilds our military, and refocuses on Afghanistan and our broader security threats.
Afghanistan, that's where Al-Qaeda is, and that's where the troops should go.
This is a war we have to win. I will send at least two additional combat brigades to Afghanistan and use this commitment to seek greater contributions with fewer restrictions from our NATO allies.
But across the country, at a town hall meeting in New Mexico, John McCain was ready. Obama would send two brigades. John McCain would do better than that. He would send three.
Our commanders on the ground in Afghanistan say that they need at least three additional brigades. Thanks to the success of the surge, these forces are becoming available.
And speaking of the surge in Iraq, the surge Barack Obama said would fail, the surge John McCain gambled his campaign on, McCain proclaimed mission accomplished.
Today we know he was wrong. The surge has succeeded.
And where Obama said that the war in Afghanistan is a war we have to win, McCain said it was a war he knows how to win. And where Barack Obama said he'd take out high-level terrorist targets like Osama bin Laden if we have them in our sights, McCain bid even higher.
You can have complete confidence that I will get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice.
And there's still 110 days left in the bidding. The Osgood File, Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
We'll be right back.
from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
All the world over, so easy to see.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 34 minutes after the hour.
You should see what a lovely, lovely world this could be. Everyone learned how to live together.
We have an interesting hour planned for you in a moment. Phyllis Bennis will join us. She's from the Institute for Policy Studies, and we're going to talk about her views about a number of developments, including Barack Obama's speech and the Bush administration's move to send a number three diplomat from the State Department to Geneva to meet with Iranians and other nations coming up this weekend. And in our second segment with Phyllis Bennis, we'll talk with her about her trip to Gaza. She's just returned from that occupied portion of the Middle East. And then next hour, Dr. Paul LaRudy from FreeGaza.org will be with us. And they are challenging the Israeli blockade of Gaza with a planned trip from Cyprus by boat that will take place in August. We'll get the details on that from Dr. LaRudy coming up in about 30 minutes. Phyllis Bennis, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be with you.
And are you recovered from your lengthy trip?
I'm recovered from the trip. I picked up something on the plane I'm not quite recovered from, but, you know, that happens.
It wasn't a bad meal, was it?
I think it was somebody sneezed.
Oh, okay. Well, it's great to talk with you, and there's a lot to cover. Let me begin with Barack Obama's speech in Washington on Tuesday, because I thought he offered an interesting recap of his position on Iraq. And I also want to touch on some of the things he talked about relative to Afghanistan and Iran. But first up, relative to Iraq, we have an interesting opening here because our puppet man, Maliki, has said, you know, I'd like you to plan to leave, and I'd like to know what the schedule for your exit will be.
Absolutely.
And in Washington, there's some hearing problems going on. You know, people are checking their hearing aids. Did he really say, can we check the translation? I mean, did he ask us to leave? And there's a kind of denial that we're hearing from Bush and McCain quarters. So what's your sense of this, and has Obama correctly seized this moment in terms of saying, hey, we're getting signals from the Iraq that it's time to go?
Well, the quick answer is yes and yes. Yes, he really did say that. Yes, Obama is right to grab hold of it. I think we have to have a big heaping spoonful of salt when we look at the significance of Maliki's statement. It's very significant in terms of U.S. politics and how all of this is playing out in the presidential campaign, as you just referred to, with Obama and McCain sparring over it. We also, though, should be clear that this is something very clearly driven in Iraq by the looming fall elections that are planned, the mm-hmm. provincial elections.
And the Kurds, by the way, have at least for the moment in protest stepped out of those discussions because they don't feel they're getting a fair shake.
Right. There's a lot of contradictions, a lot of problems between the various political forces. But the one thing that any political force who wants to have any influence in Iraq these days has to say is, I want the U.S. troops out. Now, Maliki in particular is faced with a huge problem because he's been seen, in my view rightly, as Washington's guy. Whether the term puppet is exactly apt or not, it's used a lot, and it's in many ways apt. The fact that he's now saying, we want a timetable, is because he knows that if he doesn't, he has not a prayer of getting support when the elections happen, and his party will be without any support. So it doesn't necessarily mean, in my view, that this is a real change of heart on his part, but on one level that doesn't matter. His public posture is very clear. We need a timetable. If you're going to be here at all, we want to know when you're going to be gone. Now, Obama, I think rightly, identified that as a new piece of evidence. It's, you know, if you're serious about looking at what Iraqis want, it's hardly new. It's in the last 3 years, every poll has indicated that somewhere between 82 and 88% of Iraqis want the U.S. out. And there's always been a bit of a divide. About half of those want them out immediately, which means about 6 months, what it would take if they started today. And the other half want them out within a year. But about 80 to 85% want them out right away. So that's not something new. It is new, of course, for Maliki to say it. And for Obama, it's a very useful piece of information to point to and say, even our guy in Baghdad wants us out. Now, what he didn't say was, and we should be getting out anyway because the presence of our troops, our occupation, is causing the violence, not solving the violence.
Mm-hmm.
Obama has not said that. And I think that's a bit unfortunate. He also has made clear that he is sticking to the very limited view of ending the war that has been his position for really from the beginning of the campaign, which is not, in my view, a real definition of ending the war.
Yes, he retains a great deal of ambiguity about, you know, what kind of residual forces would be left there and what their role would be.
Exactly. And if you look at the earlier Pentagon statements about how many troops would be required to do each of these various tasks that Obama at various points, and Hillary Clinton, we should say, her proposal was very similar.
Mm-hmm.
What they propose is, if you add up all the troop estimates the Pentagon has analyzed of what would be required to do all those jobs, you get anywhere from 35 to 80,000 troops that would be left behind. So, in my view, leaving 80,000 troops somewhere does not mean ending the war. It does not mean ending the occupation. It means scaling back. That's a good thing. It means maybe fewer people will be killing and dying. That's a good thing. But we should not confuse those good things with ending the war.
Indeed, and what we have is a situation of stark contrast still, that even with that ambiguity, Obama is head and shoulders better than McCain on these issues. That doesn't mean we shouldn't criticize Obama. Here's a quote from his speech in Washington Tuesday. Bush and McCain don't have a strategy for success in Iraq. They have a strategy for staying in Iraq. They said we couldn't leave when violence was up. They said we can't leave when violence is down. They refuse to press the Iraqis to make tough choices, and they label any timetable to redeploy our troops surrender, even though we would be turning Iraq over to a sovereign Iraqi government, not to a terrorist enemy. I also think the point he made refuting Bush and McCain's contention that Iraq is the quote-unquote central front in the war on terror is an important distinction that at least I appreciate, because I've just been so infuriated when they've tried to make that case over the years.
But absolutely.
Phyllis Bennis,
absolutely.
What...
I mean, there's no question that with the war in Iraq, the U.S. occupation of Iraq, the locus of fighting against the U.S. has been in Iraq. But the notion that that somehow is an indigenous terrorist problem is ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, that's not the case. And you're right. That's a very important point. And I think you're also right, Peter, about the fact that one may be better than the other on this issue. Doesn't mean we shouldn't criticize. It also means we should recognize, as Norman Solomon put in a very interesting article a day or two ago, he said that even if, I forget exactly how he said it, but it was something like, even if we recognize that defeating the Republicans is not sufficient, that should not hide or that should not blur the necessity. That it may not be enough, but it's certainly a necessity. So mm-hmm. as we criticize Obama, we should also recognize that there are differences on this question.
Phyllis Bennis with us from the Institute for Policy Studies. Their website is ips-dc.org, and there's a lot of great information and commentary there. Now, Phyllis Bennis, one of the things that really left me uncomfortable about Obama's speech is this kind of blithe sense that all we got to do is send, in his case, two more brigades, and McCain is trying to outsurge him, saying three more brigades into Afghanistan.
Yeah,
and this is a black hole.
Yeah.
And while I do agree with Obama that the real thing we always should have been focusing on is the locus of al-Qaeda and related groups, including some elements of the Taliban, I'm very uncomfortable just saying, well, he's getting us out of Iraq, so we'll overlook that he's going to put more troops into Afghanistan. No
Absolutely.
One has ever successfully occupied Afghanistan, and I don't believe we're going to change that.
I think you're absolutely right, Peter. I don't think that we are going to succeed militarily in going after the Taliban or al-Qaeda. I think that the nature of insurgency and counterinsurgency mitigates against everything that the U.S. occupation is doing, and the notion of going from 40,000 troops to an additional 10 or 20,000 more, which would put it at half the number of troops that are in Iraq, in my view, is crazy. This is not a war, so to speak, that can be won militarily. This is not an occupation, as you say, that has ever been successful in that country. Every country that has tried, from the British, the Soviets, have all been brought down by Afghan resistance. And part of the tragedy of all this is that part of the reason that the Taliban right now appears to be on a resurgent level of popularity is precisely because they are now themselves as the opponents of an unpopular foreign occupation that is responsible for killing so many civilians. People are turning to the Taliban as they did in 1995 and 96 out of desperation.
Well,
because
and
they appear to be the ones standing against the war, in that case between the warlords, and in this case, standing against those whose bombs are killing civilians.
And over the weekend, 9 Americans died in a dramatic assault on a forward base of the U.S. in Kunar province. And this was an array of 200 fighters that wasn't just al-Qaeda. It was
Absolutely.
it was a group of people. And what the U.S. media is playing down is that this was a response in part to another one of our errant bombings of a wedding
party.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's buried in the coverage of the story, and all we hear is this dramatic assault, and so then what's the response? Well, obviously,
right,
send more troops. Well, why don't we stop bombing weddings? Wouldn't that be a good place to start?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Phil, let's go
stop
ahead.
Stop bombing and start withdrawing troops. I was talking about this a day or so ago with a reporter from Canadian television, and she said, but if you're saying that we shouldn't be sending more troops to Iraq, and we shouldn't send more troops to Afghanistan, then what are you saying we should do? She was having a hard time kind of grasping it. And I said, what I'm saying we should do is pull them out of both.
Mm-hmm.
These are both illegal wars, despite the horrors of September 11th. That did not give us the right to wage a retaliatory war against another country that had not, in fact, carried out the terrorist attack on the U.S.
Well, Phyllis, that's an issue we'll take more time for in the future. I want to turn here briefly to this remarkable about-face by the Bush administration, dare we call it a flip-flop, that we're going to send the number three State Department guy, William Burns, to Geneva to meet with the Iranians, and we haven't demanded that they stop in Richmond before we meet with them. What the hell's happened here?
Well, this is very interesting. The last 2 weeks has been an array of both military and political symbols being exchanged. I thought when Iran tested those three missiles and made it look like four missiles.
The Photoshop launch, yes.
The Photoshop missiles. that they were really sending a message that they were about to get serious about negotiations. This was a signal of showing strength before you negotiate. Now, for the U.S., they are stuck. They're stuck because the Europeans who have been negotiating in a semi-serious way, have said to the U.S., this isn't going to work unless you're on board. Because at the end of the day, what Iran wants is very clear. Iran wants an agreement of non-aggression, a non-aggression pact with the United States. The U.N. can't provide that. The European Union can't provide that. They're not the threat to Iran. The U.S. is the threat to Iran. And Iran wants a non-aggression pact, a promise that the U.S. will not move for regime change or invasion or airstrikes against Iran and will not allow Israel to either. That's what Iran is looking for, that kind of a security guarantee. Without the U.S., that's not really possible. So the Europeans have been pushing the U.S. somewhat
to engage in a more direct way. Additionally, Bush is stuck at this moment where he's just a few months from the end of his term. He's bequeathing a set of crises all around the world to his successor. And I think that while there's a lot of face saving that's going to be needed on both sides with their respective domestic audiences, I think that right now this is a very significant shift. I mean, despite all the U.S. efforts to say, well, it's not really a shift, we're still demanding, and the only thing that Bill Burns will say is that we demand a halt in the enrichment activities. But what's clear is they're talking, they're in the room without the halt happening first, which means they're for the first time serious about negotiating.
And they didn't pull John Bolton out of the bullpen send him to Geneva. We'll cross our fingers on this one. We're going to take a break and return with Phyllis Bennis and get a report on her recent visit to the occupied Gaza Strip. And next hour, Dr. Paul LaRudy will join us from FreeGaza.org. They're planning a nonviolent assault on the Gaza Strip by sea. We'll talk about that coming up straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Hi, this is Patty Ross with your real estate update for the Monterey Peninsula for the week of July 14th. Short sales, pre-foreclosures. Not sure why they call them short sales. They should be called long sales. But they are a great opportunity for a good deal. You do have to have patience, time, and a very good short sale facilitator, which of course I do have, to make sure that the offers get to the bank and get accepted. Here are a couple of examples of short sales from $2 million to $200,000. No area or price range is exempt from this phenomenon right now. And the first property is at 170 Malpaso Road. That's in the Carmel Highlands, South Coast. This has three bedrooms, three and a half baths at $2,275,000. This is really an incredible value. Over $1 million price reduction here. It's got stunning ocean and whitewater views from every single room. You can just bask in the splendor of this newly constructed contemporary home, boasting some of the most expansive views on the Monterey Peninsula. It's perched way up on a hill, actually eye level with the birds. It's got two master bedrooms on opposite sides of the house. You can watch the whales from the fabulous decks, 2,490 square feet on three-quarters of an acre. Absolutely majestic. Next, we go out to Marina at 3162 Eucalyptus Street. This is a two-bedroom, one-bath for only $225,000. This is the lowest-priced condo in Marina right now. It's just perfect for that first-time buyer or investor. It has a real fresh, clean look, new paint, close to the shops, to the park, the beach, and the library. It has an open eat-in kitchen with a dishwasher, a carport, and guest parking. $320 HOA dues, which includes hot water. Wonder if that includes cold water. Not quite sure. Anyway, 912 square feet. Our transaction coordinator was just telling me the other day that four out of every five transactions she has worked on these last few months have been short sales or bank-owned property. Wow. It's probably going to take about 3 to 5 years for this to pass, but as my mom used to say, all things do pass eventually. Any questions about these properties, you'd want to give me a ring at 236-4513. Email me at pattyross@kw.com, or check out these and lots of other listings at my website, www.pattyrosscarmel.com.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, KRXA 540. Think for yourself. We'll be right back.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies. She's just back from a visit to the Gaza Strip.
Actually, Peter, let me just interrupt you. Mm-hmm. I was not able to get into Gaza. I was in the occupied West Bank.
Oh, okay. I was misinformed.
So I wasn't able to be in Gaza.
Well, thanks for correcting that. Mm-hmm. So you made it to the West Bank, and our next guest who will follow you is Dr. Paul LaRudy from FreeGaza.org, and they have an ambitious plan to sail from Cyprus to Gaza in August, and we'll be getting details about that. Nonetheless, Phyllis, we have some interesting developments. The ceasefire overall seems to be holding in general. The prisoner swap is going forward with Samir Kuntar apparently being repatriated, perhaps even today. Tony Blair attempted to take a trip into Gaza, and they canceled it with a flurry of security warnings. That occurred on Tuesday. So there are interesting developments, certainly some increased focus on the issues between Israel and the Palestinians. In the West Bank, what is the mood and the tone? What would you like to report?
Well, I wish I could be more optimistic, Peter, but unfortunately I think that the diplomatic flurries are really just that. They're flurries. They're driven a great deal by the fact that Ehud Olmert, the Prime Minister of Israel, is days, weeks, or at most a month or so away from being indicted on a number of very serious counts of corruption, and has promised to step down if he is indeed indicted.
Right.
And what I think everybody in Israel thinks is going on is that he's launching a bunch of new diplomatic processes, hoping that people will think, well, my God, we have a chance now to make the diplomatic breakthroughs we haven't been able to make yet. We better not get rid of Olmert, because then we'll lose this great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, I don't think this is a great opportunity. I don't think there have been any changes. On the ground, what is horrifying, and this had been 2.5 years since I was there, the expansion of settlements is absolutely shocking. I knew the UN statistics. I knew the numbers. But I didn't realize until I saw it what that means on the ground, how powerful that land grab is. According to the United Nations, if you add together the land of the West Bank that is the Jordan Valley, all of which is now a closed military zone, meaning a no-go zone for Palestinians, the land taken for the building of the apartheid wall or fence, which is now almost 750 kilometers long and has taken up 15% by itself of the land of the West Bank. And you add to that the land the settlements not only have actually settled on but have claimed, much wider ranging pieces of land, you end up with the Israelis now controlling 40% of the West Bank, leaving only 60% of the West Bank, which was about 18% of historic Palestine, in tiny little separated enclaves, which is why the Palestinians use the terms of South African apartheid. They use the term Bantustan. Every village and town now is separated from the next village and town. Some towns, I was in the city of Qalqilia, for instance, up in the north, the city of 40,000 people, right on the Green Line, separating Israel from the Palestinian territories. Historically a very wealthy agricultural town, a lot of water, unusual in that part of the world, and a lot of wealthy farmers growing fruits and vegetables. It was always a huge popular place for Israelis to come to buy cheap produce on the weekends. Now, with the wall, which doesn't just divide along the Green Line, but completely surrounds the entire city of Qalqilia. When I was there 2.5 years ago, that wall had just been built. Qalqilia was then the first city to be completely surrounded by the wall. Now it's one of a number that are. And there was only one gate. There still is only one gate, but the difference is 2.5 years ago, the Israeli soldiers kept the gate shut and opened it only twice a day for half an hour, which for a city of 40,000 people means it's a big problem, and people felt it.
Mm-hmm.
They felt imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, despite the fact that the wall is still being increased in how much land it's taking, the next town over is also completely surrounded. The farmers of Qalqilia can still not get to their land because it's on the other side of the wall. The difference is now the one gate into the city is mostly kept open,
mm-hmm.
so people don't feel the same the same pressure. They don't feel imprisoned. And it reminded me so much, Peter, of a story I heard as a little girl about from my grandparents, who talked about the rabbi, where the young woman came to the rabbi and said, "We're so poor, we have no room in our house, we have too many children, what should we do?" And the rabbi said, "Don't worry, just bring all your chickens into the house." "What are you, crazy?" Comes back the next day, "It's worse than ever, it's noisy, it's dirty, what can I do?" "Bring your goats into the house." And it goes through the cows and the donkey. And finally, the woman is at her wit's end, and the rabbi says, "Okay, now get rid of all the animals." And the woman comes back the next day and says, "Rabbi, I have such a big, open, spacious house. How did you do that?" It's just what the Israelis are doing now. They're squeezing, 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 letting up just a little tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then people think, oh, this is normal. Maybe we can adjust to this.
Yeah.
It's a very insidious program of land grab.
Well, Phyllis, I want to thank you for your comments today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And as I mentioned, coming up next, Dr. Paul LaRudy will join us. Free Gaza is the organization, and they are sailing from Cyprus to Gaza. We'll talk about that coming up next. Phyllis, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Oil prices plunge and stocks soar.
It's a bit of a relief.
A long time coming, major air safety change order.
Our intent is to close the door on fuel tank explosions.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. After closing below 11,000 yesterday, the Dow shot up 276 points today. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason followed the action.
I think we had a little bounce back on two things. First, we got some good news from Wells Fargo, which reported some good financial numbers, which the market hasn't seen in a while, from a bank anyway. And secondly, we've had 2 days now when oil prices have dropped significantly, $10 over 2 days.
Oil fell $4 today, settling at $134.60 a barrel. Analyst John Kilduff credits a big increase in supply.
We saw outsized gains in inventories of crude oil and gasoline and the family of diesel fuels that were much beyond anything we all expected. And combining with that was a decline in demand by consumers.
Consumers are in a vice. The Labor Department says prices jumped 1.1% last month, while wages, adjusted for inflation, fell 0.9%.
No longer is it true that wage growth is keeping pace with inflation, so consumers are losing ground in terms of how far their dollars go.
Julia Lynn Coronado is senior economist at Barclays Capital Group. The failed IndyMac Bank is under investigation for possible mortgage fraud. CBS News reporter Stephanie Labadakis has more.
The criminal investigation of California-based IndyMac brings to 21 the number of major FBI investigations underway into possible fraud within subprime mortgages. The government's takeover of the bank and its control of the books could make this investigation slightly easier for agents, and there is a definite sense of new urgency given the fear among account holders about the safety of their money.
Now this.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our clients never have to meet or even talk with the IRS. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics.
And they use that insider knowledge to go to work for you.
The IRS will place levies or liens on more than 3 million taxpayers this year. Will you be one of them? Don't be afraid. Call for a free, no-obligation consultation and get peace of mind by putting an end to your federal or state tax problems. So call now, 800-536-9092.
That's 800-536-9092.
Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092.
That's 800-536-9092.
800-536-9092.
The Federal Aviation Administration has finally come up with a fix for a very dangerous problem. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Almost 12 years to the day TWA Flight 800 exploded after takeoff from Kennedy Airport, the government orders a safety change to prevent a similar catastrophe. More than 2,700 aircraft must be retrofitted with a system that prevents flammable center fuel tank vapors from building up and igniting.
This issue has been on our most wanted list of transportation safety improvements for more than a decade.
National Transportation Safety Board Chair Mark Rosenkerr.
Despite resistance from many in the aviation industry, the FAA persevered to develop an effective and a feasible system.
It'll take another decade for the process to be completed. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
What took so long? Mary Schiavo is an aviation attorney and former inspector general of the Transportation Department.
It took so long to come up with these rules because of the industry's perceived expense. And the rules do contain a compromise. There's retrofitting is not required for older planes. This will be on newer model planes.
More than 2,700 Boeing and Airbus jets will have to be retrofitted. Eight pilots for U.S. Airways, along with their union, have filed complaints with the FAA, claiming they've been pressured to carry less fuel than they deem safe. Less fuel means less weight. U.S. forces have abandoned an outpost near the Pakistan border that was nearly overrun by insurgents who killed nine troops. Now, reports CBS News correspondent Dan Revive, the Pentagon's looking for ways to send more Americans to Afghanistan.
Some of those Americans could be moved from Iraq. A cut in troop strength there will likely be recommended in about 2 months by Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen, because he says in Iraq he found security a lot better than he had thought.
I did not expect those conditions would be at such a level that I could walk the Jamila Market in Sadr City.
And other places that had been highly dangerous, coalition forces have just transferred to Iraqi government control, another province, the 10th out of 18. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
When it comes to painting, there's no time like summertime. And Ace can help with expert advice and everything you'll need to be ready to go. Like Ace Royal Paint, starting at just $19.99 a gallon. For more great deals now through Monday, get to your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place. Ace ranked highest in customer satisfaction among major home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates for the second straight year. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world, and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rocks on at 6 minutes after the hour. Later this hour, we'll be joined by Terrence Heath from the Campaign for America's Future. Are we experiencing Wall Street socialism?
Do what they say, say what you feel. The world's at least to another.
tuned in just a few minutes ago, you heard Phyllis Bennis describe her experience in the West Bank. And just over 2.5 years, she said the number of settlements that have sprung up there really have shocked her. And I want to talk further about these issues. Joining me now is Dr. Paul LaRudy from the Free Gaza Movement. They're on the web at freegaza.org. Paul, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you for inviting me, Peter.
Well, it's my pleasure. And part of this is I'm interested in the issues, but also I got excited about the idea of a sailing adventure from Cyprus to Gaza. And you're going to do this in August. First of all, a little background about you. You told me you had a college roommate who was Palestinian who kind of opened your eyes to certain issues, and it prompted you to become a student of the Middle East. You taught in Lebanon. You worked in Saudi Arabia. And what else have you done in that part of the world that we should know about?
Well, I participated with the International Solidarity Movement in 2002 and later times as well. This is a human rights organization that participates in nonviolent resistance mm-hmm. in the West Bank and to some extent in Gaza as well when they can.
Mm-hmm.
So we support human rights work throughout that region.
Mm-hmm. And what is your sailing experience, particularly on the Mediterranean?
Well, I don't have a lot of experience sailing on the Mediterranean. Actually, when I was working in Saudi Arabia, I did some sailing on the Persian Gulf and the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not a total novice with respect to it, but we're depending on people much more capable than mm-hmm. me, thank God.
Well, I am a sailor, and I've been out near Italy and France, but never over, you know, near Israel. And I've been on the water in Turkey, and I'd love to go sailing there when things settle down a little bit. Now, tell us about your plans. You're going to leave in a couple of days and gather in Cyprus. And describe the group that is gathering there for this flotilla from Cyprus to Gaza.
The group consists of about 40 people who will be the passengers on two boats. These are sailing vessels and even single-mast sailing vessels, so you can imagine the size of the mast
mm-hmm.
and the sail.
Mm-hmm.
But they come from 16 different countries, several different religions. We've got Israelis and Palestinians and Europeans from all over the place, and a fair number of Americans and different adherents of different religions. We've got an 81-year-old Catholic nun. We've got an 84-year-old Holocaust survivor, Hedy Epstein. I'm sure you know the name.
Yeah.
And we've got Jeff Halper, who was a guest of yours. He's
mm-hmm.
He's the leader of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, and so on.
Yeah.
We've got Nakba survivors. This is from Palestinian survivors mm-hmm. of expulsion.
Nakba is the Arabic term for the expulsion from their homeland to
That's
create
right.
the State of Israel.
Right. So
mm-hmm.
we've got Holocaust and Nakba survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a diverse group and a very interesting one.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any kind of protection? I'm not imagining that you are armed in any way, but those seas can be treacherous. So do you have any kind of a naval guard or a coast guard or an honor guard?
Our best protection, I think, is our 84-year-old Holocaust survivor and our 81-year-old Catholic nun. This is when we do nonviolent work on the West Bank, when we stand in front of Israeli bulldozers and tanks, we put our little old ladies and our clerics out in front.
Mm-hmm. And, Paul, what will you encounter when you approach the coast of Gaza? Because will there not be Israeli naval ships there to deter you?
Well, we don't know. We know that the Israeli ships do patrol the area. But here's the thing. Israel says that they no longer occupy Gaza because they pulled out their settlers and their soldiers. And they also say that the Oslo Agreement is dead, and which in fact did expire in 1999. So, and they obviously have the right to control their own territory and their own borders, which border with Gaza, as Egypt does with its border. But in the Mediterranean, there's no border with another country. The only border between Gaza and anything else is with international waters. So when we go there, we're going through international waters, and this is a voyage that for all practical purposes has not taken place since 1967.
Hmm.
So no one's ever tried it before, mm-hmm. in a sense. And therefore, by it's what Israel says, they have no authority there. There's no reason to ask permission from them to go there because they don't claim authority or anything like that. So we're just going to try.
Mm-hmm. And has our U.S. State Department weighed in on the wisdom of this journey?
As a matter of fact, I called them.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Richard Doug of the Near East Policy Formation Group in the State Department said to me that there's nothing illegal or counter to U.S. policy for us to go there, but he couldn't offer U.S. protection. Diplomatic protection or whatever, and that we also had to be careful about what he called material support for groups that are listed as terrorists by the State Department and by the Treasury Department.
So you can't bring them cigarettes?
No, not if they're members of Hamas. We are in fact bringing hearing aids to the Atfaluna Society for Deaf Children there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a form of aid that is compact enough, at least, that we can take there. So
it seems clearly humanitarian.
Yes, exactly. And it's not. It's clearly not for Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Doug suggested I talk to the Justice Department. So we spoke to Mark Maldonado of the counterterrorism division of the Justice Department, and he said essentially the same thing. We told him what our plans were. He said, oh, no, I don't see any problem with what you're doing, but you do have to be careful not to provide material support for these organizations. And honestly, you know, if they gave us their blessing to provide material support for Hamas or Fatah or any of those, we would never, ever touch support for a political organization with a 10-foot pole.
Mm-hmm. Paul LaRudy is with us from the Free Gaza Movement. FreeGaza.org is their website, as we mentioned. He and 40 international members of a team are going to hop on two sailboats and go from Cyprus to Gaza in August. And you may want to duck this question, and I'll permit you to if you desire, but do you have a deep water port in Gaza that you can go to, or will you kind of leave that up to when you get along the coastline and see where a good place to come ashore might be?
Well, the draft on our vessels is 2 meters,
mm-hmm.
so we don't exactly need a deep water port.
Mm-hmm.
And the port that exists there is a small fishing port, but it's plenty big enough for what we're sailing.
Okay. So you'll have a couple of Zodiacs or something like that to go ashore when you need to?
We won't even need that. We can dock there.
Pull up to a dock.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
right. Yeah.
And what do you expect in terms of a reception should you reach Gaza?
Well, they've told us that they'll have 100,000 people or more waiting for us on the shore, so who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's really anybody's guess. They were going to make elaborate preparations for us. I said, wait a minute, there's no guarantee we're going to arrive there, so why don't you keep everything on contingency and just put something together at the last minute?
Mm-hmm. And, Paul, how are you paying for this? What's the cost, and do you still need more money?
Oh, you bet. I'm glad you mentioned that because we're just about broke right now. We've really been very successful over the last 2 years in raising the enormous amount of money necessary to buy these boats because we do have to buy them.
Yeah.
And but just this afternoon I went to the bank and sent our latest payments and we're down to $20,000.
Mm.
So if anybody's interested, just go to the website and all the instructions are there on how you can help us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you remember your history that Theodore Roosevelt more than a century ago wanted to send the American Navy around the world, and he couldn't get Congress to agree to fund it, so he sent them halfway around the world and asked Congress if they would be interested in funding them to come back. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's sort of where we are right now, that we have enough money to get out there,
mm-hmm.
but we're counting on people to hear about us and support us once we're out there and to then pay the bills that we'll be accumulating.
All right, so if you're so inclined and equipped, go to freegaza.org, and they can accept a PayPal or credit card contribution there if you'd like to support this effort. And I think it's very interesting, and Paul, I'll make this commitment that when you depart from Cyprus, I want you to call us on your satellite phone and check in with us each day as you make the journey. And I would love to, you know, depending on how all the timing works out with the, you know, the time zones and all that, if we were able to hear the coverage as you arrive in Gaza, that would be ideal. So we
would love to do that, Peter.
We'll see if we can coordinate that and make it all work.
Okay.
We're going to take a break and return. If you have a question or comment about freeing Gaza and about this sailing adventure with an amphibious, well, they're going to use the dock. I'm trying to make it a little more dramatic, but they're going to go to Gaza in August. And if somebody is well-heeled enough, could they join you still? Is there room for more?
It might be possible. Actually, we're going to sail every week. So by all means, get in touch if you're interested in coming.
All right. We'll take a break and return. Your comments are welcome to 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA and a lot going on right now. Let's start with a major problem in Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1. After Emmeline Avenue, it's an injury crash. Big rig in a car reportedly blocking the roadway. We have emergency crews on the way. Looks like some serious injuries. A medical helicopter also on the way out there. Look for big delays in both directions. Prunedale, Castroville Boulevard at San Miguel Canyon Road. A tree apparently leaning over into the street. Monterey, northbound 1 after Casa Verde Way. We have an injury crash with two cars blocking the left-hand lane. CHP and emergency crews on the scene there. Finally, Del Monte Forest, westbound Holman Highway 68 before Scenic Drive. A solo spin-out facing the wrong way, and that is blocking the westbound lane. This is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know a new study from Carfax shows that the number of salvaged cars for sale in the United States has more than doubled? Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, call us up, 415-901-7990. Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, with the economy melting down, is Wall Street looking for socialist rescue plans? We continue now with Dr. Paul LaRudy, Free Gaza Movement. FreeGaza.org is the website. And we've been talking about their plans to sail two boats from Cyprus to Gaza just to show that they can. And that'll be happening in August. And, Paul, you told me during the break that if you're able to make this happen, your ultimate goal is to set up regular ferry service from Cyprus to Gaza. Is that right?
Yes. Basically, what we're looking for is to make life as normal on one side of the border as it is on the other, so that Palestinians have access to travel and to receive visitors and trade and all this sort of thing just as much as anybody else. There's a lot of talk about sending aid to Gaza. Well, if Palestinians were able to use their skills and knowledge and education and all this sort of thing to good effect, then they wouldn't need any of this aid. And so what we're saying is you give them the freedom to behave like everybody else in the world, and they'll take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're concerned about the civilian population. So our idea is to open it up. It's not just sailing in and sailing back, and that's the end of it. We want to sail in and out for as much as we can, and that's why basically we're planning for weekly voyages to the extent that that people and goods are willing to come and go.
You also told me during the break that you have to buy these sailboats because charter companies don't want to lease or rent them, charter them, to a group that's taking them into, well, you know, potentially a combat zone.
Well, that may or may not be the case. I'm sure that there are groups that would be willing to give us to lease us boats for the right amount of money. And in 1988, that was the case when the Palestine Liberation Organization tried something similar to this that never got off the ground, water, whatever.
Didn't leave the pier.
It didn't leave the pier, yeah. They made arrangements to lease a large boat, a ship, basically. And but just before it was supposed to sail, the owner canceled. They went to another one, that owner canceled. They went to a third and a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
They all canceled, and the PLO caught on that someone was making arrangements. So they bought a boat right at the last minute in Cyprus, and that boat was very promptly sabotaged. The engine was sabotaged.
Mm-hmm.
And so it never went. So we learned a few lessons from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're, first of all, buying the boats, and why we have more than one, and why we're also being very public about what we're doing, because our protection is public knowledge and information and the public watching what we're doing and criticizing what we're doing or what people do to us.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a major component. We want everyone to see what we're doing.
Yeah, I think the best security you could have is some news choppers flying overhead at all times.
You got it.
Now, Paul, what would a free Gaza look like to you?
A free Gaza, with once Palestinians are able to move freely in and out and receive visitors and goods and so forth, I think it would very quickly become a normal state. This is a talented, educated population, and even with minimum resources in Gaza, they can live through trade and development that comes from outside,
mm-hmm.
Investment and so forth. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Mm-hmm. And do you see a need for Palestinian independence, a totally independent state? Is that your goal?
Palestinians, obviously, just like everyone else, have the right to self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually don't talk too much about what the solution, the political solution, should be. We're more concerned about human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And whether there's one state or two states or three states or no states, the important thing is that people's human rights have to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of emphasis on humanitarian aid. But let's look at what the experience of African Americans in this country, for example. Let's take arbitrarily the 30s as a standard when the treatment was terrible and the living standard was abysmal for African Americans in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But the solution wasn't humanitarian aid. Much as they needed it, the solution was a civil rights movement. And that's what we think should be the emphasis for Palestinians.
So justice, self-determination, those are
right.
The primary goals.
Exactly.
Well, I wish you well on this adventure, Paul, and I want you to be in touch with us as much as you can when you sail across the Mediterranean.
Thank you, Peter. We're looking forward to it, and we'll be in touch.
FreeGaza.org if you want more information or if you can help. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's going to be fine. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Brokers are spending the day making phone calls to their clients. Hang in there. It'll be fine. The customers at the IndyMac Bank aren't so sure. They were jostling for the right to touch their money.
This is similar to what happened during the Great Depression, and everybody wants their money, and they want to touch it and hold it and see it.
Money that'll be eaten up by higher food prices, according to this grocer.
They're going to go higher. There's really no end in the foreseeable future.
And here's a Bank of America economist who has his finger on Europe's pulse.
Europe now faces a 20% risk that it will fall into recession.
So it's basically everywhere. And Kathleen Frankovic says it shows up in the latest CBS poll, too.
Two out of three think that the economy is actually getting worse. Only 3% see that the economy is improving.
And those 3% are probably like the guy who called my show the other day about his private stock of gold.
I have about 1,500 ounces.
That's over $1 million.
Well, yeah.
You see what's happened here? This is worse than terrorism. When the terrorists hit on 9/11, stocks went down 14% but recovered in a few weeks. Since then, we've spent $537 billion on Iraq in the name of national security, while the rules protecting our wealth withered away. Conservatives welcome the deregulation, trusting in the wisdom of the market. Liberals welcome it as a way to get more people into homes. And now here we are. Like they say, a conservative is a liberal who's been mugged. And to that we can now add, a socialist is a capitalist who just saw his 401k drop 25%. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FriarTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tux, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tux, great food, great fun.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, working families would get the bailout, not Wall Street millionaires and their corporations. And that's why I'm not in charge. You could have a team trade if you just lay down your tracks. The markets are on a roller coaster. The price of oil has been jumping up and down by about $10 a barrel. And I have friends whose mortgages are at IndyMac, the bank that failed last week. I know a few people who've got some money on deposit there. I was at the Bank of America at lunchtime today doing a little transaction there. The woman in front of me was pulling out all of her money. She said she doesn't trust the American banks, and I didn't intrude to find out where she was going to transfer her funds. But there's certainly a lot of nervousness about the economy and about the housing sector and the banking sectors. And yesterday, George W. Bush called a news conference and came out, told us all to take a deep breath, and then proceeded to very nervously, I felt, in a fumbling manner, as he can so successfully pull off, I didn't feel reassured by anything he said. The banking system is basically sound, he said. That's a confidence builder, isn't it? Well, Bob Borisage, co-chair of the Campaign for America's Future, has penned a great piece that you can read at HuffingtonPost.com. And it's a different take than you're going to get from Forbes and Fortune and the corporate television networks about the current troubles we're having. To talk about it, we turn to Terrence Heath. He's at the Campaign for America's Future, where he is online producer. And he's been blogging and working the web on a lot of different fronts for several years now. Terrence Heath, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me.
And I thought Bob Morisage made a couple of interesting points, and one kind of echoes what Paul Krugman op-edited in the New York Times on Monday, which is, in the big picture, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are risk-taking agencies that can reward their shareholders. So profits are private, but their losses are socialized because the full faith and credit of the United States government, more or less, is behind Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae.
Right.
And that's a fundamental issue that people have a hard time grappling with. And then, of course, we get into the arcana of what is Fannie Mae and what is Freddie Mac and how did these creatures ever get created? I'm not going to ask you to explain that, Terrence. But as you look at the situation and what your boss, Bob Borisage, had to say, what kind of reflections do you have for us?
Well, I think it's kind of amazing that you have people talking about as houses are being boarded up in neighborhoods and local and state governments are being drained of funds for their own programs, and people are talking about who shouldn't or should be bailed out on the individual level for whatever financial decisions they made were. There's universal acceptance of bailing out corporations like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and I could name a few others, that have made equally egregious financial decisions that if I made them personally, if I made similar financial decisions for myself, people would probably say, let him sink.
Well, and Terrence, I will confess, I kind of hear it from you that I'm not a world-class investor. I got some stocks, and I never know when to sell. And so I sit on them and watch them go down, down, down. I say, well, they're going to come back, and many of them never do. And it's one of the reasons why I had that just initial negative reaction to Bush's call for privatizing Social Security. If I were in charge of investing my retirement funds, I would be broken toothless before I'm 65.
Right, and that's just it. I mean, the folks on Wall Street don't necessarily make any better financial decisions than the folks on Main Street. It's just that they have the folks on Main Street to pay their debt and to pay their bill, which is what Bob was saying in his piece. And what's amazing and how they get away with this is something that could fill and has filled books, is that they not only get the taxpayers to foot the bill for their losses, but without any accountability on their part, without any penalties. Their CEOs are going to continue making the same salaries that they were always making. Their shareholders will be protected as well.
And let's put a number on that, because Borisage published that in the piece, because it's a little stunning that these public-private agencies, the chair of Freddie Mac made $18 million last year, and the CEO of Fannie Mae got a 7% raise and still came in second, $13.4 million. And that was against losses that were posted at Fannie Mae of $2.1 billion.
Well, let me give you a little bit more information, another number, because in the past, decade or so, Freddie Mac, and Fannie Mae have spent about $200 million in lobbying and campaign contributions. So they've spent $200 million buying the influence that now is getting them this kind of protection, again, at our expense.
And Terrence, as we look at the situation, it's a little confounding, because I'm not an expert, but I talk to people who are, and what I've learned is that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have only made prime loans. By definition, the loans they make are not subprime. So the mortgage meltdown, the so-called credit crunch that is widely reported in the corporate media, should not really be infecting these two huge funds, because they're not exposed to the Indie Mac and Bear Stearns subprime securitized mortgages. And David K. Johnston, who used to write for the New York Times, was on our show the other day. And a few weeks back, he had been here, and I asked him about the whole way that subprime loans were bundled together with fairly solid loans into these securitized mortgage packages that
right.
were then sold via the hedge funds and the investment banks to various types of shareholders. And he said, Peter, stop. He said, think of hamburger. He said, now you go into your refrigerator right before dinner, and you got two packs of ground beef. And one of them looks fine, and the other one looks a little bit green around the edges. He said, would you mix those together into a meatloaf or a giant burger? And it just stopped me cold right there.
Right.
And this is what has been going on in the private markets, where, yes, they bundled together subprime loans, many of which were made in the last couple of years to unqualified borrowers. And it's hard for us to discern how much of that was predatory lending and how much of that was bad judgment on the part of the borrowers. But the bottom line is, getting back to Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, is that they should not be having the same problems as the private markets that took so much risk and have to write down so much bad paper.
Well, except that, and I'm looking up the Washington Post article on this as we speak, there was an article in June about how HUD helped to feed the mortgage policy crisis. And during the Bush administration, under the Bush administration, the way that was done was through requiring, I believe, either Freddie Mae and or Fannie Mae and or Freddie Mac.
Let's just use the first names. It'll be easier.
Yeah, Freddie and Fannie. That's a lot easier to cover or to purchase a certain percentage of these mortgages. So they really were not, you know, were not fully kept out of it. And it was part of an initiative to create more minority homeowners, the irony of which is that one of the communities being hit hardest are communities of color.
Mm-hmm.
African Americans and Latinos in particular are being hit hardest by the wave of foreclosures in the wake of the subprime mortgage debacle.
Well, I want to recommend a great article in the recent issue of The Nation. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't cite the cover date. But it profiled a family in a suburb of Atlanta where the elderly father, a retired postal worker with an income of under $2,000 a month, was tricked into signing loan papers.
I know exactly the article that you're talking about, and that's not an isolated story.
Yeah, they used a no-doc process where the lender, or at least the mortgage agent who picked up a commission and just walked away from everything, that individual put false information on the loan documents, which pushed his income, his reported income, beyond the $2,000 level of his pensions and up to like $7,000 or $8,000 a month. And it also showed that he had a savings account, which he said, well, I'd never have one of those.
Right. And part of what drove this was that none of this was regulated, almost none of it was regulated. Thank you, Phil Graham, for introducing that writer that you did during the aftermath of the 2000 election that made sure that these exotic financial instruments were unregulated. So it was easy for a lot of people to make a lot of money underhandedly and dishonestly, and by taking advantage of people who may not have known as much or been as sophisticated about how all of these financial instruments work, which is actually kind of probably most people. And most of them have disappeared into the ether at this point. They've arrested a few hundred people last month in relation to mortgage fraud. But by and large, just like the lobbying organizations that were giving away Rolling Stones tickets during the boom of subprime mortgages, most of them have folded and gone out of business, and you probably can't even find their letterhead at this point. But people made money off of it. People profited from it because it was made so that there was no wrong way to make a buck.
We're talking with Terrence Heath from the Campaign for America's Future. Their website is Our Future, O-U-R, OurFuture.org, and there's a lot of great information there that you can check out. And, Terrence, any truth to the rumor that NBC has dangled a reality show in front of Phil Graham where they just have a bunch of whiners who come on and then he fires them, you know, Donald style?
No, if I could create a reality show for Phil Graham, I would I don't know. I would probably put him in the middle of one of these neighborhoods that's being swallowed up in the wave of foreclosure. closures and have him try to find an apartment in a rental market on the income of some of the people who are trying to do that now, because it's hitting renters too. People who are being kicked out of their homes are looking for rental space. Renters are being kicked out of their rental units, even if they've paid their rent, because it's being foreclosed and the bank wants them out so they can sell the property.
Thinking more of a gladiator style thing. Maybe we strap Phil to a lamppost, you know, in the middle of an area hard hit by subprime mortgages, and we tack $100 bills to him. And people get to come up and insult him and whine to him and then peel off a Benjamin.
Your idea is a lot more fun than mine. I got to admit.
We're going to take a break and return with Terrence Heath. You want to talk about Wall Street socialism, the privatization of losses? You're going to pay for it. 888-5 Peter B. That's my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Serious problem in Santa Cruz. CHP has issued a special alert. Northbound 1 after Emmeline Avenue. Major injury crash. Big rig in a car. All of the northbound lanes of Highway 1 are currently blocked, and traffic is being diverted off the roadway at Emmeline Avenue. Now, CHP on the scene. It looks like they may have a medical helicopter on the way. And last we heard, traffic was backed up beyond Soquel Avenue. Going to Monterey, another crash. Northbound 1 after Casa Verde Way. Two cars, left-hand lane blocked, and traffic slow from Holman Highway 68. Miramonte Road at Carmel Valley Road. In Carmel Valley, we have a two-car crash block in the roadway. And this report is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove, is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208. Or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm waiting for Charles Schwab and E-Trade to announce that they're offering free Maalox to shareholders.
I don't care. That's tough enough.
market is topsy-turvy. The Dow gained 276 points on Wednesday, fueled by a positive report from Wells Fargo Bank. Apparently, they're not going to go under this week. And a $10 drop in the price of a barrel of oil over the last 2 days. Oil down to 134. Dow gained 2.5%, so did the Standard & Poor's Index, and the tech-dominated NASDAQ surged 3.5%. And, you know, this really reminds me a lot of what was reported was going on before the big crash in 1929. And I have to say that George W. Bush is doing an excellent Herbert Hoover these days. We're talking with Terrence Heath from the Campaign for America's Future. Recommend that you read Bob Borisage, who's the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. He's got a piece up at HuffingtonPost.com today entitled Wall Street Socialism. And one of the things that he talks about, Terrence, is the idea of just nationalizing Freddie and Fannie. And this, of course, offends the free market types who believe in free markets until the markets go down. But wouldn't this be a sensible move? After all, we are opening up the credit window for an additional $300 billion for Freddie and Fannie. They may not use it all, but it's a backup line of credit. And it strikes me that, gee, if we're going to back them that way, we might as well just own the damn thing.
We might as well be shareholders. Well, we already are. They might as well be accountable to us. As the people who are paying for bailing them out. It does make sense. It makes perfect sense. The problem is, and the problem that folks like Phil Graham and others have with it, is that it stops the, or it puts a partial stop to the wealth transfer that's been going on from public to private, in other words. A great deal of public wealth in terms of taxpayer dollars is going into private hands, and that's been the whole impetus of privatization. You and I lining the pockets of, well, a lot of people that I can't even name right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
And that's one way of perhaps putting some accountability back into the system, is nationalizing things like that.
Well, and Borisage also points out that we have played games with the private providers of college loans in a similar way, where
we
guarantee their losses, but we don't participate in their profits. And this, to me, is a backward situation. Now, Terrence, I'm happy to bash the Bush administration and corporate America all day long, but I'm looking to Democrats to call for new regulations or a restoration of the laws and rules and policies that were in place before Phil Graham busted up the Glass-Steagall Act and replaced that with the lifting of the barriers between those banks that do conform and are insured by the FDIC and those which are investment banks and other speculative entities that don't.
Right.
And I think that I'd like to hear some Democrats with some full-throated calls for restoring the sensible regulations that were eviscerated over the last 10 years.
And I think you're hearing some of that, and if they start listening to what a lot of Americans are thinking and feeling and expressing right now, you're going to hear a lot more of it. You're already hearing, people like, some Republican candidates for president moving in the direction of saying, there is a role for government here. There needs to be a role for government here. People like Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke calling for tighter regulations. Now, I would probably want to take a very close look at what they're proposing and see exactly where the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and where the loopholes are.
Well, your point is well taken there, Terrence, because what I've seen so far is that they are outlawing the policies that the banks voluntarily dropped when they saw their own losses mounting.
Right.
So they're the big push now is that you can't get a loan unless you can prove your income and show that you have some other resources to cover a potential drop in the value of your home. That's a very sensible thing that never should have been bypassed.
Exactly. What it's definitely what we need to go back to, but I think also accountability on, for financial giants that are involved in this, in terms of not just watching and making sure that, you know, we prevent the next disaster from happening, but making sure that the practices that brought this one about are strictly prohibited and closely watched, so that we don't end up in another situation like this.
Well, I'm looking for a populist Democrat who will actually call for people like Tony Mozilla of Countrywide and others who profited so handsomely from this fraud and run-up.
Yeah.
They should be disgorging their profits.
And there ought to be, you know, I've even seen, and I would agree with that, I can't remember who, if I try to figure out who wrote this, I'll get it wrong, but, you know, I'd like to see somebody suggest that, you know, if the government has to bail out your company, then your CEO should take a pay cut.
Well, and also, you know, if we're going to bail out a company that has been, you know, hiding losses or rolling them up for 3 years, then we should go back 3 years, and those bonuses and stock options and excessive executive pay should be confiscated and returned to the shareholders.
Right, exactly. That I would agree with you entirely. And I don't know if you're going to see that from very many people who are running for office and looking for campaign contributions, but more and more people are, and I think, you know, in the Los Angeles Times today.
Yeah. Terrence, I'm sorry I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us. Terrence Heath, OurFuture.org.
Thank you.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, How Reverend Moon Created the Washington Times, Seduced the Religious Right, and Built an American Kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at the
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Good news and bad news about the economy today. The good news is that the Dow bounced back from its close below 11,000. It jumped 276 points today to finish at 11,239. The market got a boost from another big drop in oil prices, down $4 to $134.60 a barrel.
It is kind of surprising to see that large of a drop in a 48-hour period on the one hand, but equally surprising has been the run-up of prices that we've seen in the last 3 to 6 months as well.
That's Energy Department analyst John Duff. The bad news is about inflation. Consumer prices jumped 1.1% in June.
One of the strongest headwinds the economy has been facing has been inflation, and this shows that the pressures are not easing at all. In fact, they're intensifying.
Economist Julia Lynn Coronado of Barclays Capital Group says we're losing ground because wages aren't keeping pace with prices. A P.S. to the failure of IndyMac Bank. It's under scrutiny by the FBI.
The FBI currently has 21 investigations related to the subprime market industry.
FBI spokesman Jason Pack, we learned today that IndyMac is among the 21. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
There's no question that there were a lot of, and this is the kind word, questionable loans issued during the housing boom, and we're now seeing the after effects of that. The real question here is, was there actual wrongdoing? And that's what the Justice Department is looking into.
What's the best way to lose weight? A low-fat diet, the Mediterranean diet, or Atkins? A long-term Israeli study published in the New England Journal of Medicine found they're all pretty good, but the people on a mostly vegetarian version of Atkins lost more pounds than the others and had lower cholesterol. Dr. Abby Block of the Atkins Foundation says it's a vindication.
It certainly is nice to see that it has been consistent with the other studies that have come out to validate the safety and efficacy of low-carbohydrate, yeah.
The leader of the study says it shows we have alternatives. If one diet fails, we can try another. A dozen years after 230 people died in the explosion of a TWA jumbo jet, federal regulators are requiring new safety measures. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Transportation Secretary Mary Peters says an innovative device must be installed in more than 2,700 aircraft.
A breakthrough system that replaces oxygen in the fuel tank with inert gas, effectively preventing the potential ignition of flammable vapors.
Our intent is to close the door on fuel tank explosions.
As acting FAA Administrator Bobby Sturgill, the type of explosion that has caused three fatal air accidents in the past 18 years, including the TWA Flight 800 crash. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The FAA blames resistance from the airlines for the long delay. They've claimed the retrofit could cost up to $500,000 per plane. This is CBS News.
Chances with your important documents. Trust the Design, Print, and Ship Depot at Office Depot, the only place you'll find Xerox certified print specialists. Get your copies made by the experts at Office Depot. Plus, now get 25% off all finishing services, including binding, laminating, and more. At Office Depot, we get it done right and on time. Office Depot, taking care of business. Available in-store only. Offers not combinable with any other offer. Expires July 26th.
At My Midas, they know it all. Why do brakes squeak?
Your brake pads may be worn.
Why do front brake pads wear faster than the rear?
They do 70% of the braking.
Huh. Will my team win the big game?
Sorry, it's not their year.
It never is.
Your local Midas has all the honest answers. Like the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. That's a 55-point brake inspection and lifetime guarantee pads engineered to provide exceptional stopping power. Find your neighborhood shop at Midas.com.
Trust the Midas touch.
Subject to availability. See MidasSecureStop.com for restrictions and information about the lifetime guarantee.
What a 26-year-old magazine designer found in his sandwich gives a whole new meaning to the term cold cut. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has the story.
New Yorker John Agnesini liked to lunch.
My way, Subway!
Last month, he ordered a sandwich from Subway.
It was a foot-long cold cut trio.
Along with tomatoes, lettuce, and more.
It was this nice, longer than half of the sandwich sticking out of the bread.
Agnesini phoned in a complaint.
They couldn't even be bothered with it.
They told him.
Oh, well, take it out.
He did. Too upset to eat, John saved the sandwich.
It's wrapped up in my freezer.
He's got the knife stashed away at his apartment, and now he's more stay-at-home.
I just have a hard time eating out right now.
He's suing Subway for $2 million. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Boston police say 29-year-old Jason Duncan tried to pull off a theft triathlon. After allegedly stealing a bicycle, Duncan rode it onto the North Washington Street Bridge, jumped into the harbor, swam to shore, and then ran down a walkway before they caught him. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Let the IRS veterans at Effector help stop levies and wage garnishment. We can help you get your life back in order. Our clients never have to meet or even talk with the IRS. Our ex-IRS agents have over 100 years combined experience in IRS collection tactics.
And they use that insider knowledge to go to work for you.
The IRS will place levies or liens on more than 3 million taxpayers this year. Will you be one of them? Don't be afraid. Call for a free, no-obligation consultation and get peace of mind by putting an end to your federal or state tax problems. So call now, 800-536-9092.
That's 800-536-9092.
Get a free consultation and put our team of experts between you and the IRS. Call 800-536-9092.
That's 800-536-9092.
800-536-9092.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and although your personal privacy is compromised by the FISA law, I want you to call me anyway, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B.
What's going on to make me think you're straight down the line? How you think of me as
you're listening in Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, I invite you to call right now, 888-5-PETER-B. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, you'll be hearing baseball, the Crabs. And later this hour, for our Central Coast listeners, we're going to talk with Michael Kenneth Hemp. He's written a new novel called The Najik Pheromone, and he's going to explain to us how technology can use chemical analysis to determine if you're lying. So we'll get the details on that a little bit later on. Again, my toll-free number is 888-573-8372. And every time I play this, people get irritated. And I know this is an irritating song you're about to hear. But what is even more irritating is that Democrats are lining up with Republicans in Washington to sanction a Bush administration military assault on Iran. That's really annoying.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
Adam Contras with a K is the guy responsible for this mashup. And I believe he was inspired by that campaign news conference or town hall meeting where John McCain, with a cold, tried to sing this old Beach Boys song in the same manner.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
And right now, there are resolutions gathering steam in the House and the Senate, which could tip the balance and encourage this misguided administration to launch the military assault on Iran that they've been so widely rattling sabers over. And I'm glad to see the True Majority, on the web at truemajority.org, is leading a campaign to gather signatures, rally people, to contact your members of Congress to try to block the blockade, which would result from the passage of House Resolution 362 and its companion in the U.S. Senate. Ilya Shaman, who's the online organizing manager at True Majority, joins me now. Hello, Ilya.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us, and I want to thank True Majority because I still have a working pen, and I think this is 3 years old. You pull out the little insert in it here, and it shows, for example, the relationship of Pentagon spending to other critical programs. And then on the other side, it shows U.S. military spending in comparison to other nations in the world. And so I do appreciate your ongoing advocacy on these important issues of war and peace.
Excellent. We actually have updated ones available, which we do every year, so folks can see just how out of control the federal budget is actually getting every single year under the Bush administration.
Well, if you have a chance, send me the new ones, because I'll collect the whole set.
We'll definitely do that.
Ilya, tell us a little bit about the progress so far. How many people have responded to True Majority's efforts to rally people and try to block these misguided resolutions that could embolden the Bush administration?
Sure. Well, I got to be honest. We went out with this message about noon Eastern today, and the response has been incredible. We've had 20,000 of our members already send a message and an email to their representative opposing this this resolution that's in the House. Now, you know, this resolution is generally okay until you get to the section that demands that the president, and I'm going to quote here, impose stringent inspection requirements on all persons, vehicles, ships, planes, trains, and cargo entering or departing Iran. Now, this is a Democratic resolution that calls essentially for blockade of Iran. It's ridiculous. And, you know, we've been fighting this battle for 8 months, telling people that there's a possibility of war with Iran. We've had 10 tens of thousands of signatures collected in support of a resolution that called for Congress to authorize any action. We actually had an Iranmobile that played the same song you played at the beginning, traveling around the country playing John McCain singing in jest, bomb, 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 Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Because the response from our membership and from the American people when they realized there's really a possibility of war with Iran has been incredible. I mean, folks are tired of the war in Iraq. They don't want to get into another war in the Middle East.
Yeah. Well, and they're really strange bedfellows in this particular effort, Ilya, and I don't want to beat this man up too much, but I've used the example because I can't process it. Robert Wexler is a very progressive Democratic congressman from Florida, and he has been a co-sponsor of Dennis Kucinich's various impeachment resolutions because he opposes the war in Iraq and the whole manner in which we were tricked into supporting it, or some people were. I wasn't. And yet Robert Wexler supports House Res 362.
Right. Well, I mean, let's be clear. This resolution was introduced in May, and it already has 247 co-sponsors in a House that supposedly has a Democratic majority. Now, I mean, this is just the shame of having, in an election year, we see Democrats who think that the only way to be tough on national security is to vote, act, and then introduce bills, apparently, like George Bush Republicans. You know, it's wrong when Republicans want to go to war. It's also wrong when Democrats want to go to war, and that's why this campaign is so important. It's about holding all congresspeople accountable and letting them, being clear to them, that aggressive, purposeful diplomacy, engagement without any preconditions, that's a real change, and that's what the American people are looking for. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're, you know, an independent like our Senator Bernie Sanders. There's another way to deal with Iran, and it's not war. And it, regardless of party affiliations, the wrong vote, and we strongly, you know, need folks to contact the representatives and tell them, you know, not to fall for it, because a blockade is literally the first step to a war. It's an act of aggression, and it's not a way to prevent war. It's the first step to a war.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, these are very tenuous times where, because Bush and Cheney have been so aggressive in their saber rattling, and because Israel has parallel or similar interests in trying to contain Iran and neuter its potential to develop a nuclear weapon, we've seen, I think, a lot of confusion on the part of Americans because the rhetoric is so similar to what we saw before we went into Iraq. It's WMD. It's a demonized leader. He's, you know, Ahmadinejad is not a dictator, but he is a leader who articulates some pretty offensive positions. And they try to parlay, you know, his language and his offensive speech into a military posture. And that's where I have trouble, because I believe that they are once again trying to mislead Americans into a cause for war when none exists.
Right. I mean, it's that, but it's also the fact that we've seen the sort of fear-mongering before. The Iraq war resolution just had to be rushed in October, right before the 2002 election. We saw the Republicans claiming there'd be terrorist attacks in 2004 if you didn't vote for the Republican administration. You saw the Patriot Act passed in the dead of night. It's the same sort of fear-mongering and saber-rattling. And the key is that Democrats, progressives, Republicans can't fall for it, because the problem is that one misstep could lead to an accidental war. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if your intention is to oppose war. Calling for a blockade with Iran is just a bad idea, because the consequences of putting American warships in the Strait of Hormuz, I mean, people are already feeling the pain at the pump. There's a connection with the fact that every time we do some saber-rattling with Iran or Iraq, the price of gas goes up. These things are connected, and the American people need to know that there's another way, and mm-hmm. that diplomacy is a viable option that we can use on Iran.
Yeah. And, Ilya, I'm looking at the main website here at truemajority.org, and you got a lot of worthy projects here. Condi Must Go, I fully support that. I want to direct people to add their names and also communicate with your elected representatives at truemajority.org/no-blockade. That's truemajority.org. /no-blockade. And where is the Iranmobile today, Ilya?
The Iran mobile, we actually, you know, it traveled around all spring. It followed the presidential candidates around for a while. It was at the debate in Philadelphia, went to some of the key swing states, went to anti-war rallies on the fifth anniversary of the war. Right now it's been in hiding for a while. We didn't realize that the drums of war were going to start up again. Clearly they are, and clearly we're going to need to respond to that vigorously.
Well, I saw it.
The key here is for folks to really recognize this is a serious threat, and that we need to stand up now before it's too late, like we saw with Iraq.
Yeah. And I think I gave the wrong number. It's 356. Is that the correct number of the resolution in the House?
No, the one you had was absolutely right. The House resolution is 362. That's the one for calls for blockade.
Okay.
On the other hand, Senator Durbin has Senate Resolution 356 that says no military action without congressional approval. That's the kind of movement we need, not further militarism and aggression.
Okay, then let me clarify, because I may have just confused people. 362 is the bad resolution in the House that calls for the naval blockade.
Exactly.
And then Senate Resolution 356 is the Durbin resolution. And this is a point of some contention, because there was in 2007 language in one of the supplementals for Iraq that was, I believe, ultimately vetoed, but it called for congressional approval before there could be any military assault on Iran, and then that language was stripped out by the Democratic leaders. And so I'm pleased that Durbin is carrying this at this time, because I think that's one of the most important things. We just saw the report that came from Christopher and Baker about war powers, and that basically, since the War Powers Resolution was passed after Vietnam, it's never been observed. And we have a case here where we are rushing into a potential military action, and I think most Americans don't even have their eyes open about it.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the administration claims that the authorization to fight the war against terror, which passed after 9/11, lets it go into Iran, lets it do whatever it wants. That's ridiculous, but Congress needs to go on record in saying that any offensive action needs to be explicitly approved. They can't say that they were hoodwinked this time. The American people are awake, and they're demanding that Congress stop this insane rush to war.
Yeah. Well, Ilya, I want to thank you for joining us and give my best to all the folks at True Majority. And I did tell Ben Cohen once that I had to name my love handles after him and Jerry.
Well, thanks so much, Peter, and we'll definitely get you one of our budget pens.
Okay, I can't wait. That's Ilya Shaman from TrueMajority.org. Thank you, Ilya.
Thanks.
And we're going to take a break. Return to your phone calls here in the Free Speech Zone. There are lines available if you want to join me. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Log on to TrueMajority.org and let your elected representative know, no war on Iran.
You're listening to KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start things off in Santa Cruz. Still have a major problem out there, northbound 1 after Emmeline Avenue. It's a major injury crash. Big rig in a car. All of the northbound lanes are still shut down with traffic being diverted off the roadway at Emmeline Avenue. Last we heard, traffic backed up solid from Park Avenue in Capitola. And it doesn't look like they're going to have those lanes opened up anytime soon. Avoid the area if you can. For Hollister, Cienega Road at Hospital Road, two-car crash there. Miramonte Road at Carmel Valley Road, we have a two-car crash. That's got some lanes blocked with CHP on the way. Northbound 1 between Carpenter Street and Casa Verde in Monterey. We do have some heavy traffic because of an earlier crash out there. Finally, Monterey County Highway 68 eastbound at Laguna Seca. It's a two-car crash. It's off to the shoulder. This is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Don't try to fight the feeling. The thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together. Cause we don't know how.
Triple 85 Peter B. If you'd like to join us here in the free speed zone, 888-573-8372. Central Coast writer Michael Kenneth Hemp will join us about 10 minutes from now. We'll get the preview of his novel and look at the technology that is showcased there. Also, before the end of the hour, I promise to deliver to you a list of some of the key exhibits expected in the George W. Bush Presidential Library at Texas A&M, right? We saw, actually yesterday, we played part of the videotape of this Bush fundraiser who was offering meetings and photo ops with Condi Rice or even Dick Cheney to some wealthy cat who was willing to put up more than $250,000 for the Bush Library. So we'll have the details on that a little later. Dave in Eureka, thanks for calling today.
Hey, Peter, our country, our Congress definitely needs more people with the conscience and the character of Dennis Kucinich. Desperately we need that. But anyway, I'm listening to you in Humboldt on KGOE, so we probably already switched over to baseball. But I'd much appreciated your affording me the opportunity to share something of my own plight and the reprisals that I'm undergoing right now, how they've limited me to Social Security and now trying every way they can to take my Social Security away. I've run across a number of people today. You have far more listeners than you have callers up here.
Okay, I'll take that.
And they wanted to let me know. They related and they understood. We have a government that is not beneath just about any tactic or stunt they can pull, and they want.
Well, and Dave, what you're offering is a first-person account of the very real loss of our privacy rights and our constitutional rights. And it didn't take the FISA capitulation by Democrats for some of these efforts to get underway. And, some of the stuff that came across the Internet today shows just how complicit many of our Democratic leaders have been. They certainly had knowledge of the torture program and the domestic wiretap program, and they chose to do nothing about it. And that's Nancy Pelosi, Jane Harman, Jay Rockefeller, and Harry Reid.
Well, I can tell you one thing. To my knowledge, I have never had any Al-Qaeda people on the other end of my phone or computer.
Mm-hmm.
If they say that's the only conditions under which they would interfere and monitor, intrude themselves into your privacy, I can say that is not quite the case. I have never had any such contacts as that, and they have felt at liberty to intrude wherever they felt like it.
Yeah.
You do such a wonderful thing, Peter. Making people aware of what we're up against, because I think that's 90% of solving the problems that we're confronted with now is seeing them clearly, and we're not going to see them clearly on programs that just help cover it over.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much.
Okay, Pa.
Love
I think
here.
We've already gone to baseball here.
Yeah, I think that happened. Thank you. Duncan in Fieldbrook, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks a lot, Peter B. And what I wanted to say, I know you had two segments on Palestine on the program today, and you've had some other segments on Palestine. And Peter B., thanks for having the guts to take on this issue and explore that issue in such a thoughtful manner. And I'm very sincere about that.
Well, you're welcome. It's simply my commitment to human rights and justice, wherever I find it, whether it's in the United States or another part of the world. And I don't accept any intimidation from forces that want to keep those kinds of issues out of the media.
Hey, I can't wait for the show to go national.
Okay. Thank you, Duncan.
You bet.
Appreciate your support. We're going to take a break and return. If you want to join me in the Free Speed Zone, call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Central Coast, this is your day because Eureka's hearing a baseball game, 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jabe. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggie Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. My personal email is available to you 24/7. Drop me a note. Peter@peterbcollins.com. Joining me now is a Peter B. Collins listener from the Central Coast who has just published a book, and we want to invite you to attend a book signing in Pacific Grove this Saturday. Joining me now is Michael Kenneth Hemp, and we do honor middle initials and middle names on this program. His new book, a novel, is called The Najik Pheromone. N-A-D-J-I-K, and everybody on the Central Coast who's been sprayed knows what a pheromone is and how to spell it. Michael, welcome to our program today.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's a real honor.
Now, I'm looking at your bio on the book sleeve here. You escaped from the People's Republic of Berkeley, and then you went back to the university there.
Born and raised.
You worked as an intelligence officer for the United States Air Force, and you did special ops in Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. I take it that was in the 60s?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and you've done work on Cannery Row and promoting the John Steinbeck legacy. And
known perhaps as the Cannery Row historian.
Uh-huh. And then there's a blurb here about Play Misty for Me and Clint Eastwood's radio station, KRML.
In fact, I am a broadcaster on Fridays. I fly a B-17 back into the 1940s at KRML and play nonstop big band jazz. And the show is called Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. So That keeps me out of the bars and bowling alleys on Friday.
Well, we're happy to plug another radio station.
Well, thank you.
KRML does a great job, and I think that Clint is a real great character in the community.
Well, it's great to be a veterans advocate, especially World War II and the Greatest Generation, and occasionally I'll slip in his theme from Flags of Our Fathers as one of the anthems for all of us like myself who have served, and unlike myself, the unlucky ones, the only real heroes there are.
Mm-hmm.
The only real heroes are dead.
Well, now, I want to turn to your novel, and we don't ordinarily cover novels on this program because we're so focused on reality, but in the Najik Pheromone, and I've just glanced at it, so correct me where I misstate your premise here, but you have a story revolving around a computer-guided gas chromatography mass spectrometry instrument.
Well, and the state-of-the-art is actually out there. It isn't so much about the state of the science at all. In fact, most of your listeners, or at least a lot of them, will be familiar immediately with the CSI technology that they see on CSI in New York and Miami and Las Vegas and other law enforcement shows. It's that science where the technician sticks the smallest substance of evidence into a machine that then breaks it down technologically into its chemical components and into its molecular structures and can actually tell you exactly what that thing is that has just been analyzed. This has been around for quite some time, for the last dozen years at least. And I have to admit or explain that this whole concept, which is at the basis of this technology, has been around since 1994 at least. That's when I started a screenplay when I was living in Hawaii and brought up this concept that relates to this science in a very special way. And I should say, not so much as a pheromone, but as a gaseous subset of what a pheromone is.
Mm-hmm.
Pheromones are a gaseous substance that can be communicated between all kinds of living creatures. But
right. The
idea is that the science that people can see and understand on television as this equipment that will analyze anything put into it, and for those folks who have been to the airports that have blowers,
yeah, the puffer booth.
The puffer booth. Well, that's spectrometry, and they're blowing trace chemicals, molecules off of your body and your clothing, and they don't care what the chemistry for your aftershave or your toothpaste happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for the molecules that are specific to Pemex or C4 or explosives.
Now, will my smelly feet cover that up?
No, actually, they're looking for specific chemicals, and that's why this gets really so interesting. Back in 94, I happened to run into a guy who's now a dear friend of mine who ran a company transferring some of this spectrometry technology from the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory in Livermore, California, to his company. The government actually transferred some of this technology to private development, and he was explaining to me the capabilities of some of this stuff, like being able to detect molecules of latex on somebody's breath. And I thought, latex? And then, boom, there's no reason to have latex molecules on your breath unless you're carrying balloons of drugs in your belly.
Well, you may be having safe sex.
That could be too now. But this idea that your breath contains so many signals that nobody ever anticipates. But Tom Morjig is the guy's name. He ran advanced sensors devices back in those days and explained all the various ways that spectrometry could be used. In fact, in the first Gulf War, the Dutch were using it to sniff the desert wind just out in the desert in parts per bazillion, looking for traces of nerve agents on the desert wind. It's that it can cover that kind of ground.
Well, now let me ask you on that note about this, because one of the things that I found really troubling, Michael, when we invaded Iraq in March of 2003, was that on the one hand, the Bush administration had claimed WMD, he's got chemical and biological weapons, and he's going to use them. And the ABC suits that our troops were given, and in fact, this new HBO series called Generation Kill depicted this in the first episode that I saw the other night. that the chemical suits that we gave to our troops were camo for forests, not camo for deserts.
Desert.
So right away, there was a problem with that. And there were many concerns raised by troops that the suits and the headgear were inadequate and in some cases compromised. So here we are claiming that we've got to invade this country because this guy has chemical and biological weapons. And then we send our troops in there very ill-fitted and ill-prepared to confront such a situation.
Army militarist said, you fight the war with the army you got.
Well, but what I'm asking is, did we have some of this advanced technology that would have enabled us to detect the deployment of any chemical or bioweapons by the Iraqis well before our troops in the wrong camo outfits got there?
Well, I can't divulge any national secrets or they'll kill me, but we've had this kind of technological capability for quite some time, Peter. This is not something that a random author just happened to think up.
Mm-hmm.
The next step I was leading to in the construction of this technological discussion we're having and the capabilities of present technologies is that particularly in the breath applications, the human body, the human mind is an electrochemical device. It's like every other living organism. It creates what technically they call an exhaust. And that exhaust are chemical releases of everything that goes on in the chemical construction and activity within that specimen or that being.
Mm-hmm.
The conclusion of the Najik pheromone, which has the confirmation by one of the leading CSI forensic toxicologists in the entire industry, the entire business, concludes in my book as a fictional presumption, which unfortunately is not going to be fictional very long, is that this science of GCMS, the gas chromatography, mass spectrometry, is going to, at some point in the future, is going to be able to read the chemical signatures in our breath that were created when our brain chemistry created that chemical signal to create and to prosecute a lie.
Mm-hmm. And so
your brain chemistry does absolutely everything it takes to stay alive. It covers all the involuntary things like breath and respiration rates and blood pressure and the rebuilding body and organs.
Mm-hmm.
But it also creates all the other things. Your ability to listen to me speaking on the telephone, your listeners being able to get the idea of what we're talking about here, the idea is that the human brain, no matter what sex, no matter what race, no matter what part of the world they come from or what language they speak, every human brain has a chemical action that occurs when it decides to lie. And we believe that the capabilities of this technology, able to find molecules in parts per bazillion, I mean, it's off the scale. When you can detect nerve agents on the desert wind miles and miles and miles from the source, that's a capability that is going to be able to ultimately identify the chemical signal in your breath that indicated that you just lied.
So, Michael, if we extrapolate this out, would we be able to apply this to our elected leaders and make sure that, for example, when the State of the Union message is being delivered, that full accuracy is guaranteed?
Well, it's going to take some real reconstruction. You can only imagine it, and your listeners can only just begin to grapple with what's going to have to happen to the protections in our Constitution to protect us from the unwarranted use of this capability. But it means that there's no place for anybody that's lying to hide. It means, wouldn't you love to have Karl Rove actually have to tell you under the Najik pheromone? Yeah, he's going to lie under oath at a congressional hearing in a heartbeat.
Right.
But you can't lie under this technology because the chemical is either there or not for the act of lying. It's more like a pregnancy test than anything like a polygraph.
Well, Michael, I just got word that Rush Limbaugh is scheduled to appear on the Colbert Report tonight on Comedy Central. Now,
oh my God.
I'd love to see a truth detector on both of those guys.
Well, the concept is really, it's staggering when you start looking at the consequences of this kind of technology, and I'm just the messenger. But I can tell you it is under development. This part of it is not fiction. I'm sorry to report. But we need to start appreciating the impact it's going to have at some point in time, especially since this is not limited to our own government's abuse of it. Any technical capability in the world, it could be the Indians that come up with this first. It could be North Korea. It could be the French, the Danes. Some biochemical advanced research operation somewhere, like breaking the human genome, the race is going to be on to acquire this capability and then use it to benefit whoever has control of it. The anti-terrorism folks in Washington really want a field unit of this where they can simply ask a detainee, are you a combatant or not? Did you fire these shots at us or not? His answer is going to be either yes or no, that the chemical for the lie is going to be there or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have emptied Abu Ghraib. We could empty Guantanamo in a couple of days.
And we could stop the torture, which doesn't work anyway.
Or there, under this scenario, there's no reason for torture unless you're doing it for the fun of it.
Michael,
of course, for a long time, there have been a number of people, Chalmers, Johnson, among others, who contend that torture was never designed to get intelligence. It was designed to obtain false confessions.
Well, and also to chill the people who hadn't been interrogated
yet. False confessions of the people that they were torturing so that they could go ahead and eliminate them. But the nature of the book, I'm not going to give away the plot or anything, but there is an international war correspondent that suggests this capability is being developed in Palo Alto. There is a siege to stop it by a consortium of underworld and governmental and secret organizations, all of which fear, above all else, the fact that if this technology ever becomes real, mm-hmm. they're done for, and their power structures are done for.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to invite people to come over to the Works in Pacific Grove this Saturday between 2 and 4. You'll be there for a book signing, and you give a little talk and explain some of this.
Well, thank you, Peter, and if you have enough interested listeners that would like to hear the scientific side from the horse's mouth, I would love a conference call with Dr. Brian Andreessen, who solved the Angel of Death murders in Glendale using this material, and who claims on the back of the book and in the epilogue of the book, which lays out the veracity of the science, that this is just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. Michael Kenneth Emp, thank you very much. Good to have you.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. The Najik pheromone, that's spelled N-A-D-J-I-K. And as we mentioned, he'll be at the Works in Pacific Grove this Saturday from 2 to 4. We'll take more of your calls and wrap up the show in the Free Speech Zone. Coming up next, lines open 888-5, Peter B., and I've got this list of the attractions at the George W. Bush Library. Stay tuned.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, checking KRXA traffic for the final time this evening, and we've still got a major problem for you. Santa Cruz right now. This is northbound 1 after Emmeline Avenue. Major injury crash that's had all of the northbound lanes shut down for close to 2 hours now. They're still taking traffic off the roadway at Emmeline Avenue, and you're back up into Rio Del Mar right now. No estimated time for those lanes to reopen at this point. For Hollister, Cienega Road at Hospital Road, we have a two-car crash. Looks like that's off to the side, and CHP is on the scene. Slow traffic from an earlier crash in Monterey, northbound 1, heavy leaving Carmel as you head up towards Casa Verde right now. Southbound 17, heavy traffic Lark Avenue out to Highway 9, but after that it does move well through the Santa Cruz Mountains and no stalls or accidents up there. This is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
I did not receive a payment from the movie studio to play this. Just wanted to take your temperature and see if anybody's excited about this new Batman movie coming out with Heath Ledger on Friday. And if the movie studio would like to pay me to play the Batman theme, Peter at PeterBCollins.com. Or just send a check. Triple 85 Peter B, if you'd like to check in with us here in the final few moments of the program today. And as promised, I have a list here of the attractions planned for the George W. Bush Presidential Library. And this follows on yesterday's report. We played the purloined videotape for you of one of the Bush fundraisers, a guy who's raised campaign cash for him in the past. His name is, I had it here. Payne, Stephen Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. And he was caught on videotape in a restaurant. It's kind of noisy, but he's shaking down this fat cat and trying to get a contribution for the George W. Bush Library. And he says, well, you know, I can get you, I don't know if I can get you a photo op with Bush, but you want to meet Condi Rice? You want to meet Dick Cheney? I can probably arrange that. And then he drops that he needs at least 250 large to accomplish that. And then it appears he asks for another couple of hundred thousand, apparently just agrees him. So with these fundraising efforts underway, I thought it'd be fun to share with you some of the attractions planned for this very expensive and fraudulently funded presidential library. This is the theme music you'll hear when you enter.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad, now we're all in danger.
At the G.W. Bush Presidential Library, you'll be able to visit the Hurricane Katrina Room, which is still under construction. The Alberto Gonzalez Room, where you won't be able to remember anything. The Texas Air National Guard Room, where you don't even have to show up. The Walter Reed Hospital Room, where they don't let you in. The Guantanamo Bay Room, where they don't let you out. The Weapons of Mass Destruction Room, which no one has been able to find. The National Debt Room, which is huge and has no ceiling. The Tax Cut Room, with entry only to the 1% top wealthy people in this country. The Economy Room, which is in the toilet. The Iraq War Room. After you complete your first tour, they make you go back for a second, third, fourth, and sometimes fifth. The Dick Cheney Room, in a famous undisclosed location complete with the Shotgun Gallery. The Environmental Conservation Room. It's still empty. The Supreme's Gift Shop, where you can buy an election. The Airport Men's Room, where you can meet some of your favorite Republican senators and tap out a little tune. And the Decider Room, complete with dartboard, magic eight ball, Ouija board, dice, coins, and straws. They left out astrology. So that's a look at the future of the George W. Bush Library, and now you know why they need so much money. And I've been looking for a spot to play this, so I've got an opportunity right now. Oh, I just clicked on it. Here we go. This is a new film from Brave New Films. That's Robert Greenwald's group in Los Angeles, and it's about John McCain. We just have just enough time for it.
Across this country, if you've seen gasoline prices lately, then you know they are close to an all-time record.
AAA now says gasoline prices have hit new highs for 21 consecutive days.
You would not require the oil industry to use its profits to help pursue alternative energy.
I would not require them to.
Why won't McCain require oil companies to pursue alternative energy, the screen asks.
Gas prices are spiking. The national average is now $2.66 as gas
prices... McCain has taken $1,069,000 from the oil industry.
The national average for regular...
15 of McCain's closest advisors and fundraisers have lobbied for oil companies, and they include Wayne Berman, Chevron Texaco, Eric Burgesson, lobbied for BP, Frank Donatelli, ExxonMobil, Rebecca Anderson, Sunoco, Charlie Black, Occidental, Nancy Portnauer... Oh, boy, that's going too fast.
Gas prices have climbed to another all-time high, just below $4 a gallon nationally.
Just in 2008, McCain has received just under $500,000 from big oil.
In the four corners of the country.
And he wants to open up the coastlines for oil.
You would not require the oil industry to use its profits to help pursue alternative energy.
I would not require them to...
$1,069,000 from the oil and gas industry, it says. How can we trust McCain with the energy crisis when he's tied to big oil? And Brave New Films encourages me to forward this to 10 people and help spread the word about the real John McCain. You can find that at therealmccain.com. I want to thank you for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back at you tomorrow with another great program and a full lineup. I invite you to share a podcast with any portion of this program with a friend or loved one or a like-minded individual. You don't even have to like them. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Thanks for listening. And thanks to Joshua Emerson Smith for assisting us on the program today.
Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
We're in a squeeze. A government report today says American consumers are falling behind because wages haven't kept up with inflation. CBS News correspondent Ben Tracy has details.
Consumer prices shot up 1.1% in June, much higher than expected. Energy prices are fueling most of the jump, up 6.6% last month, while natural gas costs have skyrocketed 21% in the past 12 months. For many, that means higher electric bills, forcing some to sweat out the summer with no air conditioning.
There might be some relief from high energy prices. Oil is down $10 in 2 days, settling in New York this afternoon at $134.60 a barrel. Energy Department analyst John Duff says part of the reason is increased supply.
We did see an uptick in crude oil imports, which helped bolster inventories substantially.
The stock market likes that. The Dow jumped 276 points to 11,239. The other shoe has dropped at IndyMac Bank, which was taken over by the FDIC last Friday. Today, CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis learned the bank is the subject of a federal investigation.
Officials won't comment publicly, but the FBI is actively investigating IndyMac's collapse, with agents looking for evidence that fraud could have played a role in the risky lending practices that led to the bank's collapse. The probe was launched before IndyBank's failure and takeover by the federal government, but took on even more urgency as distraught account holders lined up around the block at some branches.
The FBI now has 21 investigations into subprime mortgage lending. Admiral Mike Mullen, the Joint Chiefs Chairman, says security in Iraq is unquestionably and remarkably better, and he's likely to recommend further troop reductions this fall. But at the same time, the Pentagon needs more troops in Afghanistan. CBS News correspondent David Martin has the story there.
U.S. troops have beat a tactical retreat in Afghanistan, abandoning the remote border outpost that was almost overrun by insurgents over the weekend. And Defense Secretary Gates is scrambling to find reinforcements he can send right away.
We are clearly working very hard to see if there are opportunities to send additional forces sooner rather than later.
The largest unit immediately available is a